Well, I'm ready to jump into the Word tonight. I want to talk to you about how we are called to manifest Christ by asking this question, are we manifesting Jesus? Now, I ask that corporately as a church body, are we manifesting Jesus? But also very personally, individually, are you, am I manifesting Christ to the people around us, to the world before us? And you know, when you look at someone, you don't know what they might carry. You know, you've got to be around them, get to know them. And hopefully all of us, we want to be people that when others get around us, Jesus rubs off on them. Amen? Today's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. And I ran across the engagement picture that Mickey and I had. I want to share that with you. You never know what someone carries. Now, can you imagine if you'd been in a church service and we've been sitting there and somebody got up and prophesied and says, the Lord says, behold your future pastors. But that would have been the truth. You see, you never know. We certainly didn't have a clue at that time. And did you notice how happy she is? Just thought I'd point that out. We here in this altar a few months ago, last spring, there was a lady, 91 years old. This is her picture. And there was one of our articles in our first edition of Grace House Magazine. If you had the opportunity to read that. And I thank the Lord for those stories and all the time that the people, thank them. Yeah, for the excellent job they did. And I know Sarah Mosley wrote a story about Lillian Anschel, who was a Holocaust survivor. But she came to, we didn't know her, but she came to one of our Saturday morning healing, times of prayers for healing. And we began praying with her. And it's been a good while into the prayer, got to asking her questions, that we discovered that she had been in the Holocaust, one of the concentration camps at Dachau, Germany, as a 7-year-old girl. She had been struck by one of the guards. It damaged her hearing. She had a loss of hearing in one ear and had been beaten. My heart was resonating with different kinds of emotion. Number one, just a deep sadness and grief that she had to endure something like that. And then just this honor to be able to meet someone, you know, that was actually there. And then in addition to that, a Jewish lady who had come to know Jesus as her Messiah and came here to have prayer for healing. So we had a wonderful time praying for her and fellowshipping with her. She has since gone to be with Jesus. But she lived right here in our own city and was a Holocaust survivor. We had no clue when we were looking at her. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. He basically said, if you'll follow me, you'll be more like Christ. He was challenging them, like, I'm living close to Christ, so follow me. Can we say that to people? You know, if you follow me around, you're going to be more like Jesus. It's kind of a staggering statement that he made, but it's very, very powerful. And I want to share some scripture with you, this beginning with John 17. Here's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to share some scriptures. We're going to talk about them a little bit. Then I want to go through some things to help us understand whether, you know, have a better understanding of, are we manifesting Christ? How can we know that? What are some of the indicators? What are some of the barriers that keep us from doing that? And so I'm going to share some selected items with you. John 17, this is the high priestly prayer of Jesus that he prayed the night before he was crucified. Three verses there, he's praying, he says, my prayer is not for them alone, talking about his disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their work. That's us. Jesus prayed for you and me the night before He was crucified when He prayed this. Lord, I pray not just for these disciples, but for those that will believe on Me because of their work. You see, they manifested Christ after His ascension. And people were led to Him because of that. He says, He goes on to say, that they may all be one as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be in Us, so that the world may believe that You sent Me. Notice that last part. If we are living the life the way we were created to in union with God, the world will know that we're representing Jesus, that we are here doing His business. We have been sent by Him. By the way, that's an apostolic evidence, to have been sent and manifest Christ. And interesting that they may be one, me and you, you and me, they and us. This is all this language is about divine union with human hearts. That God, who is Spirit, through His Holy Spirit inhabits us, and we are able to experience union with God. And it's an amazing thought to me to think that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit beckon you and me into the midst of the Godhead to experience union with God Himself. You know, and people who are put off by the idea of a supernatural lifestyle or living supernaturally, everything about the Christian life is supernatural. I mean, here, talking about union with God, a spiritual union that supersedes the natural material world, that we living in these material bodies are in union with a spiritual being called Almighty God. That's amazing. And it's supernatural in the sense it is so powerful that when we truly live from that place, out of that place of divine union, the world notices it. The world notes it. The world's moved by it. Sorry, backing up on me. The world is moved by that. Some are moved to opposition, to oppose it. Some are drawn to it in repentance. And so, it's very obvious we are called to manifest Jesus Christ to the world. One moment, please. Hopefully it'll quit rubbing. Okay. Now, I want to move on to Romans 8, 28, 29. Love these scriptures too. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to what? To the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. This passage tells us that we also have a relationship with Jesus, who is our Lord, Jesus, who is our Savior, Jesus, who is our healer, Jesus, who is our deliverer, Jesus is also our brother, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. How are we brothers? Well, He's the Son of God, and we are sons of God. We are brothers. We have the same Father. And so, we are told here, it's God's plan that everything we go through, He uses that to make us more like Jesus, to conform us. In our Play-Doh years, when we were kids, we knew how to mold and shape things. You know, and that's the idea here of conforming. And there's a divine model, a pattern. It's Jesus. And Father wants to work and mold and sculpt in all the circumstances that touch our life to use those. At sandpaper here, little chisel there, gouging out here, little bundo there. You know, He's doing that so that we will more fully manifest Christ. to the world. You've heard me say this a number of times because I like the way it speaks. We are complete in Him, but we're not yet completely like Him. We're complete in Him. That's the positional theological truth. We are not yet completely like Him. That's the practical sanctifying process. God is molding and conforming us into the image of His Son. And that's remarkable. Why is that remarkable? Because when Jesus walked this earth, He told people, "You've seen Me, you've seen the Father. You want to see what God looks like? Look at Me." It's pretty remarkable. In a similar way, not only equal footing with that, obviously, because Jesus was fully man and fully God, we are to be men who are full of God. But He is saying God is making us like Jesus. That's what this word is saying. He is conforming us into the image of His Son. So it's important when somebody says, "You know, I see Jesus in you," then that lets you know I'm in union, I'm partnering with God, and His work on me is showing. Now, we give evidence of who's working on us and working in us and working through us. When you get mad and stomp and curse somebody out, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's not when you can say, "He's working through me." That's when the devil in your flesh is having a good time. Right? So we're going to give off evidence of who we're being energized by. So that's a powerful scripture. Another scripture, I just wanted to share some of these with you that kind of underscore this truth tonight. This is the new commandment. Again, this is something Jesus shared the night before He was crucified. They were already under the great commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. But here's a new commandment, another layer up. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Then He qualifies it. "As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men, all will know that you are My disciples if you have love for one another." Hallmark characteristic of the Christian life, loving people like Jesus did. Like Jesus does. That's what it says. Because He qualifies it. Because we use love in such generic terms. You know, I love my dog. I love my fishing boat. I love my, you know, I love my football team. I love my wife. I love, you know. He's talking, here's the kind of love He's talking about. Watch me how I live my life and how I respond and how I love and how I sacrificially commit and give to people. I want you to love each other that way. And if you do that, folks will know you're Mine. You'll manifest Me. And then, in Galatians 5:22-23, this is the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure. He was full of the Holy Spirit, so He manifested the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. I mean, you're free to do all that you want to. No law against you doing those things. God smiles on those things. They're the fruit of His Spirit working in our life. Jesus was full of the Spirit. He was full of this fruit. When we're manifesting this, we're manifesting Jesus. Because this is the attributes that were exhibited in His life. And then one more. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. Another list. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and beloved." This characterizes God's people. "Holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another." Mickey taught on that last Wednesday night. "If anyone has a complaint against another, just as Christ forgave you, so also you must forgive." Simple admonition. Somebody's complaining, getting on your case, just forgive them. Forgive them. So, We've looked at these attributes, these scriptures that tell us that we will manifest Christ if we're living the life in the right way, living the Christian life. And so I wanted to talk a moment about this disconnect that we sometimes see between what we say we believe and how we actually behave. Think about it. Is it correct to say what you believe determines how you behave? Is it correct to say how you behave will determine what you believe? You see, I think what you believe influences how you behave, and how you behave reveals what you really believe. And sometimes there's a disconnect between what we say and what we do. And I don't think there's any of us that score 100 on that report card. That's the reason God's conforming us. Why? Because we still got stuff hanging over the edge. We still got stuff out of line, out of joint, out of place that's got to be dealt with. A lifelong process of God molding and shaping us and making us more and more like Jesus. And then John says, when He comes back, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. There will be a moment at the return of Christ when that final standing and blowing the dust off, getting a brand new body, the promised possession. Oh, that's going to be awesome. So we need to realize that the world looks at us and they look at the way we behave and they draw a conclusion of what we really believe. Those Christians say that they love one another, but you wouldn't believe how I saw them treating each other. You wouldn't believe how they treated me. Well, you know, he says he goes to that church up there and he's one of those Christians. But I can't tell him any difference from him than any of the rest of us. You know, the world notices those things. Now, we shouldn't live for Christ because people are watching. We should live for Christ because of Christ. But people are watching. Another thing, it has to do with holiness and hypocrisy. This is another disconnect. And again, if I'm pointing a finger at you, there's three pointing back at me. These are areas that we all are still obviously working on, but we're called to be holy, to be like Jesus, you know, to demonstrate that we have power over sin in our lives. And when we're not, you know, that's when we create confusion for other people because they see it as hypocrisy. And sometimes we can be just outright hypocritical when we know we're not being who we say we are, but yet we go ahead and do the thing anyway. And I've had numbers of people through the years who have told me, well, I'd go to that church, but I think I'm closer to God than so-and-so up there, or, you know. And people are going to always find reasons and excuses, and none of those will hold water on Judgment Day because you had to stand before God in your own sandals. You know, you can't say, well, Lord, I'd serve you better if it hadn't been for Uncle So-and-so, or if I'd had a better spouse. Or, no, 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 no. You will be accountable. I will be accountable to God for how we have lived our lives. And that should be a sobering realization for us. And of course James talks about don't just be hearers of the word, but doers also, because there's a disconnect there. We can even be lulled into a place of deception just because we're hearing a lot of preaching or Bible teaching or listening to a lot of it or watching a lot of it or reading a lot of it, that somehow makes up for us being unchristian in other areas of our life. James, that's the warning of hearing without doing. James says it results in you deceiving yourself. Because you're hearing a lot of the word. Well, I'm under the spout where the glory comes out. But is it coming out of you as a result of being under that spout? You know, are you doing it? Are you activating it in your life? Because we can be in spiritual dullness. We've just heard so much without doing. We get fat and lazy in the spiritual area of our life, and there's no spiritual activity, even though our brain's telling us, man, I got a lot of Bible knowledge. But if it's not resulting in transformation, I like to call it, the Word needs to become incarnate in us. Jesus was God incarnate. He's the living Word. The more we become like Jesus, that means the Word is becoming incarnate in our life. It's actually affecting how we make our decisions, how we conduct ourselves, how we converse with others, how we treat others, how we love others, and so forth. So hearing and doing are both needed if we're going to manifest Jesus. Unfortunately, there's numbers of Bible schools and seminaries that have very scholarly, high-level intellectual people that don't even believe all the book that they claim to teach. You know, the Christian life is, again, about union. You know the living God. You sense His presence in your life. And so I want to talk about that a little bit because I think it's important, particularly in the Bible Belt where we've had a lot of exposure to biblical truth. It's important that we evaluate and examine ourselves. Is this truth bringing new areas of freedom in my life? That's what John 8:31-32 teaches. If you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed? You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. When we're continuing in the word, doing the word, living the word, it results in increasing areas of freedom in our life. Stuff that used to hold us back no longer does. Things that used to have a hook in us, now it's gone. And again, it's not that we're paragons of virtue and completely like Jesus. No, we're saints who are struggling and warring and learning and growing and changing. And we want to be humble about it. But we certainly don't want to be deceived because we know a lot about God. Are we manifesting Christ? Proof's in the pudding. So let's pop the hood a moment. And let's talk about that. First, and again, this is just some questions to help us evaluate whether or not we are manifest in Christ. Do you consider yourself dialed in spiritually? I mean, like during day in, day out, are there times when you're consciously aware of, you know, I'm dependent on God. Lord, help me with this. Are you communicating with God? Are you connecting with God? Do you feel like you are spiritually dialed in? Are you spending time with Him? A man and a woman who stood at an altar and said, I do, can live 50 years under the same roof and still not know much about each other. And both be miserable. And just stick it out. And as Christians, if we're not careful, you know, it can be more of a concept than a reality in our life. Do you consider yourself dialed in spiritually? Secondly, are you regularly convicted? Well, I hope not. That means I'm sinning. No, I mean it. Are you regularly convicted? Because no matter what the water level is you're walking in spiritually, there's deeper waters to go to. Again, no matter how much we may know or how much in love with God we are and how much we think we're seeing the Lord manifest, there's always more with God. He's inexplicable. He's inexhaustible. And Paul prays that we might be filled with the fullness of God, and that's a lifelong quest. So, to me, an indicator that I'm at least living with awareness of God and wanting to God to govern my life is when I'm convicted. And yes, I am. I'm not saying I'm living the straight arrow of life. I want to. I hope I'm living pretty straight. But I'm regularly convicted about stuff. I mean, just the last day or two, I tell Mika, I said, you know, I worry about myself sometimes. Why, that shouldn't bother me that way, or I shouldn't think that thought I just thought. You know, I must not be perceiving this right. But we need to be aware where we might be missing it, or we might be. That's the Holy Spirit. He helps us know that. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We don't need to live in a world where you're just free to do what you want to with no repercussions and no consequences. And we don't want to raise our children to think that they can't, no, we can't correct them. And I know you don't need to be stripping the bark off your kids' backside in abusive ways, but they do need to be corrected. Somebody, sometime in their life, has got to help them realize there is a consequence for wrongdoing. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it out. Now, I know that's probably not on any refrigerators, but it's in the book. And again, it's not a call to any type of abuse. And I probably, most of us in my era of coming up, we probably, there had been some folks locked up chasing kids with those peach tree limbs. Stripping, you know, have you by the collar. And, yeah, it hurts. But some things you were doing, you didn't do anymore. Now, I'm not, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But hear what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us realize when we do wrong. We can quench Him and we can grieve Him. And if you're never aware of quenching the Holy Spirit or grieving, there's only two options. You're living a perfect life, or you're not dialed in spiritually. You're not listening. It's not important enough to you. Another question, are you spiritually challenged? I mean, even when you are living, you are convicted, do you find yourself spiritually challenged? You know, called up. You know, I need to step up to the plate. I need to do more than I'm doing. And again, these aren't necessarily areas where wrong and sinful things. It's just like, you can hear that call to the more, or to give that, to sacrifice this or that at that time, to obey God. Those are indicators. When you're living that way, then your obedience will yield itself in manifesting Christ. Is your spiritual development meaningful or monotonous to you? I listened to a podcast recently. And one I enjoy time to time because they cover topics that have to do with what's going on in church. And they were talking about statistics and church attendance and all these kind of things. And one person was really making a big deal. They said, you know, we've done all these queries and questions. And we found out there's just a lot of people that are saying, we go to church. They're answering questions we're not asking. And so the whole thing was, preachers, you need to make sure that you're answering the questions that people are asking. And I listened a while, and I understood what they were saying. But then I got thinking, you know what? There's something that's just not quite right about that. I'm not called to take public opinion polls to figure out what you need to be taught from God's Word. That's like the parent asking the kids, well, what do we need to do? Well, you want vanilla or strawberry or chocolate. Yeah, let them make that decision. But should we buy this new house or not? You know, they're kids. They're not mature yet. They don't have the wisdom they will have, hopefully, after a few years. And so, you know, I thought about that and prayed about it, and I concluded, well, I understand now. You need to make sure that you are preaching to people where they are. But that's not the right view. Are you answering questions they're not asking? The thing is, are you asking the right questions? People aren't concerned enough about who is Jesus Christ. That it's important to know He was really God's Son. to believe in the virgin birth, to know who the Holy Spirit is, to believe the integrity, the verbal, plenary inspiration of Scripture. These are important things in your life. You're not going to get them on Reader's Digest. You're not going to get it on social media. But hopefully when you come to the house of the living God where people gather to worship and the Word of God is open, you're going to be taught something from the book that you maybe you didn't even know to ask about it. You didn't even know it was important. But you need to know. We can't live by... That's the way the politicians live. Which way is the wind blowing? We're warned against being blown to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes through. We're to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. So, is your spiritual development meaningful or monotonous? Sometimes you may it may be bored because the preacher's boring. And most of us have been guilty of that one time or the other. But sometimes you may be bored because you're not excited about the right things. You're not plugged in. You're not dialed in. This book is awesome. Jesus is amazing. The Spirit of God is incomparable. And everything we think we're living for out here will pass away. But he who does the will of God abides forever, and the Word of God abides forever. Another question. Are you in the Scriptures? Are you praying? How can you be spiritually dialed in if you're not talking to God? If you're not reading your Bible, whether it's on your device, your tablet, your literal Bible, or listening to it, reading it. I mean, you need to be in the Word. And you've got, those are the basic building blocks of discipleship. Prayer, reading the Scriptures, fellowship, witnessing, worship. So those are just a few questions to tap on our toes a little bit. Pop under the hood. You know, get serious about, am I serious? Now, there are barriers that we need to break through. There's a lot of warfare to keep us from these very things, to be able to answer these questions. There's a lot of warfare in your life to keep you and God separated, to keep you from not being in union with God or being distracted by other things going on, you know, get your attention off of the eternal matters. There's a lot of warfare. There's a lot of circumstances in life. There's a lot of burdens you have to bear. A lot of you are having to deal with stuff that others of us are completely unaware of. Life. Life can be unfair. Life can be unjust. Life can be painful. There are troubles. There are snares. There are problems. There are trials. All of that we're taught in the book. But you still have to deal with those things. And I just wanted to, and this could be a real long list, but I'm just going to share a few with you. Just some things to remember, to keep in mind that'll help you to live the kind of life that will manifest Jesus to others. Okay? First thing is simply, repentance and forgiveness will solve most problems. It's amazing if you think about it. Most of the stuff we deal with that really get us out of joint, repentance and forgiveness will help. Now sometimes it's us needing to repent, or we need someone's forgiveness, or somebody else, if they'll repent, or if we'll choose to forgive, things will just be better. Because a lot of our circumstances and pain in life has to do with human relationships, and sin is the issue between human beings. It's just like it is between human beings and God. And repentance and forgiveness works vertical and horizontally. Both vertically and horizontally. And it helps us. And sometimes when you mess up, seeking someone's forgiveness, you're manifesting Christ. And that's something that God even allows us in making things right that we've messed up. We can do that in a way that will manifest Jesus. Now, not that Jesus ever had to repent or sin, but the humility of heart that says, I know I need your forgiveness, that I hurt you. Please forgive me. Second thing, no matter what, God's Word is true. Trust it. Trust it. Why should I believe the book? Well, that's another, not just a message for the series. But there are millions of people that will testify that when they started reading the Bible and responded to God's invitation to come to Christ, that their life is transformed and changed. And when they began to apply the truths of the Bible, things started changing in their life in a good way, in a God way. The Bible is reliable. It is true. And in your warfare and everything trying to separate you from God, no matter what, I encourage you to settle this issue in your heart. God's Word is true. I'm going to trust it. I may not fully understand it, but I'm going to believe it and I'm going to trust it. No matter what, God is faithful. Trust Him. This is something that will help you through troubles, through trials, through temptations. God is faithful. Trust Him. But I messed up. God is faithful. Trust Him. But you don't know how big this thing... God is faithful. Trust Him. But how in the world could He possibly... God is faithful. Trust Him. That's what faith is. It's belief. A full leaning of trust upon God. Thank God sometimes you don't have to figure stuff out. God knows what needs to be done. Trust Him. Well, I just can't understand it. Don't have to. All you've got to understand is you need to trust God. No matter what, God is faithful. Trust Him. No matter what, God's Word is true. Trust it. No matter what, God really does love me. There'll be an all-out assault, if you haven't had it yet, it'll come to test whether or not you truly believe God loves you. And still today, there's so many people that have a hard time believing this. God really does love you. Look at the cross, the fact that He gave His Son for you. God really does love you. If you believe the Bible and trust it, it says God really does love you. If you believe God is faithful, trust Him. He says He really does love you. He really does love you. This is an anchor in life's darkest storms. When the devil's trying to say, well, if God really loves you, this wouldn't happen. If He loves you, you wouldn't have lost this loved one. If He loves you, why did you lose that job? If He loves you, why did this happen? How did this terrible thing happen if God's so good? But see, if you've already settled that, no matter what, God is faithful. I may not understand, and my flesh may be trying to come up with a wrong answer to this situation, but I'm going to stay right here. My spirit man's going to stay right here. God is faithful. God is good. God really does love me. And I'm not going to allow anything that happens to me in this world to move me off that eternal truth. God is love, and He loves me. The cross has forever settled that question in my life. Christ died for me because God loves me. He demonstrated His love to me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. When I was unlovable, He loved me. When I am unlovable, He loves me. And I went through a real tough, difficult time in my life and not believing that I made decisions that I made. I never one time during that time, and I thank God for this, never questioned whether or not God loved me. And that was an anchor. There's no fail-proof humans in the room. We've all got failure. It may be painted a different color. It may be a different thing, but we've all got failure. And one of your anchor points needs to be that you know God really does love you. And when you fail and you go, you come to Him, you're coming to somebody that loves you. And He loves you enough, He's going to correct you. And that may be painful, but that's going to be all right with you because you know He loves you. He's going to do what's best for you. And I encourage you to hide these things in your heart. I need to have the humility that I'll repent and seek forgiveness when I need to. I need to have the humility that I'll forgive when I need to, and I'll allow the others to repent. I need the humility that says no matter what, God's Word is true. No matter how smart I may think I am about this, if God's Word says something different, I'm going with God's Word. And I need to have the humility that knows that no matter how strong this person is or that person is, the one that will be there when the dust settles is God Himself. He is faithful. And God really does love me. And no matter what, Jesus is Lord. You take that Philippians 2 passage to heart. There is coming a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is not going to be Lord. Jesus is Lord. You may not have confessed Him as Lord. He may not be the confessed Lord of your life, but He is Lord. And you will confess Him. It may be too late, but you will acknowledge that He is Lord. He is the owner, the ruler, the possessor, the sovereign prince, the King of all kings. He is Lord. And why is this important in order to manifest Christ? Because when there's giants in the land or those mountains that you think, I don't know if that's going to move or not, you have to remember, no, wait a minute. Jesus is Lord. And I've been given His name and His authority to represent Him in this earth. So, the Lord of Lords has sent me on this assignment. Mountain, you got to move. Giant, no, you can't rule in this valley any longer. Because Jesus is Lord, and He has now sent me with His authority and His name to retake this ground that you said is now yours. And He can use a teenage boy with a slingshot to take care of a giant. No matter what, Jesus is Lord. Amen? So Father, tonight we just pray that You would help each of us to more fully manifest You in our daily walk, in our lives, in our family. And Lord, corporately as a church fellowship here at Grace House, when people come and go from our services, may they see Christ in us. When we move out of this building after the service, and go into our neighborhoods and into our workplaces and into our schools and into the marketplaces, may we represent You well and manifest You, Jesus. And when we walk this land on which we live, may we remember that Romans 8 says that the earth itself is groaning for us to manifest who we really are as the sons of God. Help us tonight, Lord Jesus. Would You stand with me, please? Just take a moment and measure things in your own heart with the Holy Spirit's help. Has there been anything particular that's spoken to you? Anything you need to respond to toward the Lord by means of prayer, by means of repentance, by means of commitment? Would some of our prayer team members come now and just be here? If you need someone to pray with you tonight about this matter or any other burden you may be carrying or need you may have, you're encouraged to come and receive ministry. As your pastor, I thank God for how I see Jesus in your lives. Your encouragers, your supporters, your prayer warriors. You're faithful. You're here on Wednesday night. I believe you and we together, we're making a difference here. And I think we're going to make a greater difference than we ever have in the days ahead. And what I've shared tonight is the key. Because when you start manifesting Jesus in your life, then things begin to happen when people are around Jesus. Folks want to know about who your Father is. How did you get that healing now? So you believe demons are real. How do you deal with that? Do you really think God answers prayer? I mean, I see you praying over your lunch. I've got a prayer need. Oh, it can happen a million different ways. But just let your light shine. Let Jesus out. Manifest Him. You'll gain, and those around you will as well. So Lord, thank You again for this time we've had together tonight. Bless the ministry that may take place here in this altar, and for those watching online, bless them tonight as well, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. This altar is open. If you need prayer, I encourage you to invite someone to come with you Sunday. For those of you that are going to be a part of our Thursday morning community Bible study, it begins a week from tomorrow, okay? We'll be a week from tomorrow, which will be, I think it's the 22nd of February. On Thursday, we'll begin our Thursday morning community Bible study. And looking forward to Sunday. Pray for our services, and I really enjoyed what I've watched online in my absence. And thank you, Pastor Doc, and Pastors Matt, Pastor Derek, and Mickey as well for the good words that were shared here. Everything good? Let's go change the world. God bless you. Thanks for being here tonight. This altar is available if you need prayer. Now, we'll be sharing a couple of things on Sunday about the trip.